with open eyes and open hands. If we can learn to live with open eyes and open hands, we will be making progress in getting to that point where we're wanting to be, where we outlive our lives. To outlive our lives, we have to live with open eyes and open hands. Let me show you that to you real quick. Acts chapter 3, beginning at verse 1. Now, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the ninth hour, the hour of prayer. By the way, that's about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. It's time. It's planned. This is when you do this. This is the regular time, their regular schedule. Peter and John apparently do this as a matter of habit, and they're going to the temple to pray. Verse 2, and a certain man who had been lame from his mother's womb was being carried along, whom they used to sit down every day at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, in order to beg alms of those who were entering the temple. This man had never walked. He had been lame from his mother's womb. He had friends, which was one of the few blessings he had in this life. But he had friends, someone who had some kind of care for him, who would carry him and bring him and sit him down by the gate called Beautiful. And I think it's interesting that Luke makes the point of telling us the name of the gate, because I think the contrast is the point. You've got the gate called Beautiful and one who sits by it who is anything but beautiful. He can't walk. He is a beggar. The only reason he's there is to sit there all afternoon as people enter the temple so that he can beg that they might give him some change that he could use to live on. Verse 3, when he saw Peter and John about to go into the temple, he began asking to receive alms. And Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze upon him and said, "Look at us." And there's where I want to pause for just a moment. Because the first thing that we need to do in order to live with open eyes and open hands is to be willing to have an honest look. Peter and John stop for an honest look at this man. Now let's be honest, because I suspect that you and I are similar in this one way. When we see somebody at the doorway of a restaurant, clearly they're begging, you do what I do. I look down or I look away and get in and out as fast as I can. When those commercials come on TV where they're showing us all the children who are starving, you do what I do. We change the channel. I'm not trying to make you feel guilty about that stuff. Sometimes that's the best option. I'm just saying, recognize that's a part of our nature. That's our first reaction. Because once we understand our first reaction, then we can choose to change that when we need to. And you see what happened here? The apostles tempted to get right on in and get busy with their work of praying and doing their thing. They stopped, and they were willing to look. They gave an honest look to this man. I have a friend who has a lot to say most of the time. But when he really has something extremely important that he wants to communicate clearly, he says, "Look at me. Look at me." You know what he's saying? This is where we communicate, and this is so important that I want to make sure we're here. Peter and John, it said they looked at him. They fixed their gaze on him. Instead of looking through him, they looked into him. And then they said, "Look at me." That was their words. When Peter, along with John, fixed his gaze on him and said, "Look at us." That visual contact is so important if we're going to be honest with those around us in need. That really looking at someone says, "You're real. You count. Did you see the movie Avatar? That line in there that actually becomes a pivotal line in the whole movie. I see you. As you watch the movie, you understand that what they mean by that is, I understand you. I know you're real. You're here. I'm connecting with you. One of the reasons that we don't wind up outliving our lives is because we go through our life so fast, we don't take time to actually stop and see the needs around us. I can't meet needs that I don't see. So we begin with an honest look. In Luke chapter 7, Simon the Pharisee didn't like the fact that Jesus was being nice to a woman. We could say this woman of questionable character. So Jesus asked Simon the Pharisee, "Do you see this woman?" That was his question. Do you see her? Do you see this woman? Apparently, Simon only saw a streetwalker type. And Jesus said, "Do you see this woman?" To pause long enough to have an honest look changes our perspective, and we can begin to make a difference when we're willing to see what difference needs to be made. Hagar was a slave. Abram and Sarai took advantage of her, abused her, and she ran away. The angel of the Lord came and spoke to her and told her that she would have a son and that she should return to Abram. And she called God at that moment, she called God the one who sees me. All the others saw was a slave. She said, "You see me." Scripture says that Jesus looked into people and not through them. In Matthew 9, it says, seeing the people, he felt compassion for them because they were distressed and dispirited like sheep without a shepherd. He saw them. It's about compassion, that feeling for the people around us who need to have their needs met. We won't feel that compassion unless we see them. By the way, I want to tell you a secret. You will be happier in this life. You will be happier when you learn to feel for the people around you instead of worrying so much about your feelings. People who only think about how am I feeling? Am I getting what I need? Do I like what's happening? I promise you, you'll never really find happiness because you will always feel let down, always, no matter where you are. Instead, if you can learn to have an honest look at the people around you and say, what am I doing to meet their needs? How am I helping them? What are they feeling in this situation? What can I do for someone else? You will wind up being happier because you don't have time to feel sorry for yourself. It takes an honest look to live a life that will outlive your life. Swindoll calls it ingrown eyeballs when all we can do is look here. He says we want to learn to look out. Have an honest look. Another thing, the next thing that we find in the text that will help us outlive our lives, help us make a difference, is a helping hand. Y'all may have to bear it. There they are. Oh, I was in trouble. Verse 5. Pick up the story where we left. Verse 5. And he began to give them his attention, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I do not possess silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ the Nazarene, walk." And seizing him by the right hand, he raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were strengthened. Let me ask you, after he invoked the name of Jesus Christ and commanded that the lame walk, did he have to touch him? Was the healing in Peter's touch Or was it in the powerful name of the great physician himself? Peter knew that Jesus could heal the man without Peter. But Peter also knew that the man would benefit from a human touch. Didn't have to do it this way, but he did because he knew it would be that important. Peter reaches down, and that great, big, strong, hefty hand of a fisherman reached down to that thin, scrawny, little bitty hand of a beggar who'd never walked or worked a day in his life, and he pulls him up onto his feet, and the man begins to walk, and it says he begins to leap immediately. You see in verse 8, and with a leap, he stood upright and began to walk, and he entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. The man that used to be a beggar on the outside is now one who worships and serves on the inside. He came into the temple and worshiped and praised with Peter. Why? Because Peter was willing to have an honest look and a helping hand. We're going to start to make a difference in this world. We're going to start to change things around us. We're going to outlive our lives when we're willing to have an honest look at the needs around us and a helping hand to those we see. I need to go quickly, and so we're not going to take time to finish this last one out. But let me just show you how this unfolds. When you have an honest look, that leads to a helping hand. That leads then to a caring conversation. When you really see the needs in others, you reach out to help, that provides the opportunity for a caring conversation. Because you see what happened here in verse 9? All the people saw him walking and praising God. They were taking note of him as being the one who used to sit at the beautiful gate of the temple to beg alms. They were filled with wonder and amazement at what happened to him. And while he was clinging to Peter and John, all the people ran together at the so-called portico of Solomon, full of amazement. But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, and he begins to tell them the story of Jesus. Because he saw a need, he reached out to meet the need, he found himself with an opportunity to tell the story of Jesus, which he does. He tells them how they put Jesus on the cross and how he died for them. In verse 16 it says, and on the basis of faith in his name, it is the name of Jesus which has strengthened this man whom you see and know. Jesus is the one who did it. He had an opportunity to give Jesus the glory for what had happened in this case. And then he ends his conversation in verse 19. Repent, therefore, and return, that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. He had opportunity to have a caring conversation, to share the truth of Jesus, and to call the people to faith in Christ. That's how it usually unfolds. That's how you outlive your life. You have an honest eye, an honest look at the needs around you. You have a helping hand to help those in need, and that leads to a caring conversation. In that conversation, Peter told the folks how Jesus died on the cross for them. He even said to these Jews, you're the ones who turned him over to Pilate. But he made sure that he made it clear that it was a very personal thing. Jesus died for you. If Peter were here today, his message would change somewhat, but the content would be the same. He would say to us, Jesus died for you. Therefore, repent, believe, and be refreshed.